So we're up to 1981. This is Make It Last All Night. In the background, Bill Conti, who did the music for Rocky, came on and he did the soundtrack for this one. He did the score for it. For Your Eyes Only, pretty good. I rewatched it. I loved it when I first saw it. But on the rewatch, it's a little slower than the other Bond movies, but it's got a lot of great stuff in it, including a great scene with Bond getting thrown overboard into coral reef to be fed to his sharks. But it's got one of the great opening scenes, too. Bond's always good with opening scenes for a number of the movies, including this one. There's a mysterious villain. It's implied to be Blofeld, of course, that takes control of a helicopter and scoops up James Bond and takes him for a ride, which is fun. This one's heavily disco-influenced as well. It was a budget of $28 million, which is still pretty high for a Bond movie, and box office of $195.3 million. So it did pretty well. Controversial was the poster that came out for it. They had a woman in a bathing suit. It was supposed to be Melina from the movie, and she has her crossbow with her, but her bathing suit is on backwards, so you could see the cracks of her cheeks. And a lot of people would not put the poster up to support the movie. This one was directed by John Glenn, and at this point produced by Albert Broccoli, Cubby Broccoli. The other guy had gone his separate ways with Broccoli during the 70s. Roger Moore as James Bond, of course. Carol Bouquet as Melina, considered one of the strongest of the James Bond girls. I should also mention Spy Love Me, Jaws, fantastic, but also the beginning of Moonraker, one of the best stunts. Spy Love Me had the great ski jump scene, but Moonraker has this opening scene where they jump out of the airplane with no parachutes. It's just amazing. Great stunts in all these movies. Another common theme in all the James Bond movies. Anyway, let's listen in a little bit more. It's For Your Eyes Only. Little disco-oriented Bill Conti in the background. And coming up next is Octopussy. Time travel here with you until 7 p.m. Watch this as well. WMFO in Medford. Thanks for listening. All James Bond till 7 p.m.
We've done.
All right, that's Rita Coolidge from Octopussy, All Time High. Here is the Chase Bomb theme from Octopussy. John Barry returned after his tax problems, and he comes back in this 1983 Octopussy James Bond movie to do the score here. So I'm going to play the Chase Bomb theme, and then we will go back to my favorite of all, the last Roger Moore of the Bonds, but my favorite of all time, the theme to View to a Kill by Duran Duran, coming up after this little piece from Octopussy. Octopussy did well, didn't do as well as For Your Eyes Only. What's interesting with this one is Prince Charles and Princess Diana attended the premiere. It was such a big thing. It was intensely British, as it has always been, and James Bond was rooted in society at this point in the early 80s. This one was also on HBO like all the time, just over and over and over and over again. And it's probably got the worst title of all the Bond movies. I don't know, it was just goofy. And I don't like Louis Jordan that much. I found him annoying. So it's okay. I mean, James Bond dresses up as a clown. You know, he rides an elephant. There's all kinds of weird stuff happening in this one. But it has a couple of good moments in it, and it's still James Bond. So, I mean, it's still a good movie. Anyway, Octopussy 1983. This is the Chase Bomb theme in the background.
Yeah.
All right, there's Duran Duran with View to a Kill here on Watch This / Time Travel here with you until 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle. Not the best Bond movie, and Roger Moore is looking pretty old in this one. I think he's about 57 in this. He's like making out with 18-year-olds still. But no, not in this movie. But he was kind of more of a hands-off approach as he got into his 50s when he was Bond, but still a little creepy. A little creepy as he's getting a little older, but it's not bad. You got Christopher Walken in it, who, of course, is always interesting. He's not super interesting in this, but Grace Jones is great as a sidekick. She's pretty fun. And it's got a great scene on the Eiffel Tower, and the Duran Duran theme song, View to a Kill, performed really well in the charts. It reached number one. It's the only theme song that reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and it earned a Golden Globe nomination for Best Song, but it didn't win. It also was not at the Oscars, but it is my favorite James Bond theme song, View to a Kill. There's some great ones, like Carly Simon one's fantastic, Thunderball's awesome, all the Shirley Bassey Goldfinger, but View to a Kill, always one of my favorites, and I think it's at the very top of the list for me. Anyway, let's move on to 1987. So all of a sudden, Roger Moore retires, and we have a new James Bond, and it is Timothy Dalton. And most people don't know who Timothy Dalton really is, but he is considered as many as what the closest rendition of James Bond is supposed to be in the Ian Fleming novels. So James Bond is assigned to aid to the defection of a KGB officer and covers his escape, and the mission goes bad. It just had a budget of $40 million. Its box office was $191.2 million. I think this may be the first Bond movie that I saw in the theater. Music is by John Barry, again in the background. Cubby Broccoli, as well as Michael Wilson, produce it, directed by John Glenn again. And it did okay. Not considered as anybody's favorite Bond or Bond movie. And Timothy Dalton kind of gets a bad rap. He's decent enough in it, but he's not a whole bunch of fun. And he's not the dashing person that Roger Moore was. And he's not as tough and as confident as the Sean Connery. Well, I guess he's confident enough, but Living Daylights is okay. Plus, it has a couple of Bond girls in it who are not very good actresses. And we get to see this throughout the 80s and 90s. And we get to see some not very good actors and actresses join in the Bond franchise. Anyway, here is the Living Daylights from A-ha. Originally, it was supposed to be the Pet Shop Boys. And when they found out that they only wanted them to do the theme song, the Pet Shop Boys turned it down, and they were going to do the entire soundtrack for them. But the producers only wanted them to do the theme song, so the Pet Shop Boys said no, and A-ha, we got stuck with for the Living Daylights with the help of John Barry doing the orchestration on this one. Here you go, Living Daylights. We could have had the Pet Shop Boys, but that's what we got stuck with. The Living Daylights here on Watch This. It's all Bond here with you until 7 p.m. We could have had the Pet Shop Boys, but yeah, we got stuck with Aha. And apparently they didn't get along with John Barry. And it was an early version of orchestra and electronica all thrown together. And John Barry, this was his last soundtrack. Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders was actually asked to add a couple of songs for Living Daylight. So there were two songs that were added, Where Has Everybody Gone, as well as If There Was a Man. So I'm going to play for you one of the songs from The Pretenders from the Living Daylight soundtrack. It is, I'm going to play If There Was a Man here on Watch This.
Dream come true. If
is Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders with If There Was a Man. It can be heard over the score, over the end titles to The Living Daylights. I prefer The Living Daylights over License to Kill, and so does Timothy Dalton, apparently. Other actors considered for the role of James Bond was Pierce Brosnan, but he could not get out of Remington Steele, and Mel Gibson, Christopher Lambert from the Highlander movies. Pretty interesting stuff. And I guess they wanted to have the Pretenders do the title song, but since Duran Duran did really well, they ended up asking the Pet Shop Boys, who turned it down. And then Aha, which they went with, which one of the weaker James Bond theme songs, in my opinion, one of the weaker James Bond movies. I don't know. Timothy Dalton's good, but he's a little too hard-edged, and it misses a little bit of the humor there in the Living Daylights. So anyway, let's move on to License to Kill, which has a relatively decent song to it by Gladys Knight. I should also mention in The Living Daylights, director John Glenn, who did all of the 1980s Bond movies, he directed them. He brought back the macaw from Your Eyes Only, which is pretty cool. So he brings back the parrot from Your Eyes Only, and you can hear it squawking in The Living Daylights, which was, I thought, kind of cool. License to Kill coming up next. Gladys Knight here on Watch This, here with you till 7 p.m. It's all Bond movies. Thanks for listening.
Baby,
All right, from 1989, soundtrack album by Michael Kamen, License to Kill, and James Bond composer John Barry, who had scored almost every movie from Russia with Love onwards, wasn't available. He was undergoing some throat surgery, so the soundtrack is a little more upbeat and suspenseful, composed by Michael Kamen. Eric Clapton and Vic Flick were asked to write and perform the theme song. The theme was said to have been a new version based on James Bond theme, and the guitar riff at the beginning of the theme was played by Vic Flick. However, it fell into Gladys Knight's song and her performance, and it was composed by Narada, Michael Walden, Jeffrey Cohen, and Walter Afanasieff, and it was based on the horn line from Goldfinger, which that's why it kind of sounds very similar, and this has kind of a James Bond theme going through the whole thing. It's not bad. It's the longest James Bond theme. It's 5 minutes and 13 seconds, although the 45 features the shorter edit of 4 minutes and 11 seconds, which we just heard. There was a music video of License to Kill that was released, and then all of a sudden we had 6 years off, and then GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan comes into play in 1995. And I'm going to play you the title track of GoldenEye by Tina Turner, written by Bono and the Edge from U2. And I'm also going to give you a little surprise. It's U2's version of GoldenEye coming up next here on Watch This with Chris Earle, here with you until 7 p.m.
Now, the great thing about the James Bond films is the amazing music from the James Bond movies. And only the finest performers get a chance to do a James Bond theme. And people like Tom Jones, people like Tina Turner, people like Aha. Only the greatest and most enduring bands get a chance to do a James Bond theme. And it's sad because so many brilliant performers have never done a James Bond theme. It's amazing. People like Neil Young.
James Bond with your fancy women.
Chance. People like Ethel Merman.
Hey James, come up to my place. Hiya, hiya, a waka waka, hiya, waka wow.
Never did one. People like Morrissey.
I met him at a chip shop. He was in a tuxedo, and then he was gonna save the world. Why, where have you gone? Why did you run? Why, what about me? Why, not me? Why?
Never had a chance. Not a chance. Another great British performer, Robert Smith from The Cure.
I am a spy. Why do I cry? Why do I cry? I'm a spy, I'm a spy. Oh, 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 oh. Sunday's sad and Tuesday's dead. I just was lost in a submarine.
I don't know. Who else? Tom Waits. Tom Waits would be good.
I saw a pirate with a leg, a Chinese horse with a stabled peg, a chimp with a monkey dancing in the rain. Then I saw old James Bond again.
Anybody else? James Brown. James Brown. James Brown. Done one. But my favorite, I think, my favorite would be Bob Dylan. He said, everybody run, you were coming in, yeah, fun. Didn't you? With a satellite with a laser beam, and everybody had a scream, wouldn't you? Weird. Thank you.
Name's Bond. James Bond.
We're in 1995. Made $355 million. Pierce Brosnan stars as 007 in GoldenEye.
See reflection. The water, more than darkness in the depths. See him surface and never a shadow. On the wind, I feel his breath. Golden eye, I found his weakness. Golden eye, you do what I please. Golden eye, no time for sweetness. Shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to be the one who's left behind. You'll never know the days, the nights, the tears. Girls, they gather around him. If I had him, I wouldn't let him out. Golden eye, not lace or leather. Golden chain, taken to the spot. Golden eye, I'll show him forever. It'll take forever to see what I've got. You'll never know the shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to get so close and be denied.
Right, there's Tina Turner with GoldenEye. This came out in 1995. The 17th James Bond film, based on a screenplay by Michael France. Albert Cubby Broccoli's health was deteriorating. He died 7 months after the release of GoldenEye. So Barbara stepped up and she took over the film's production. And Broccoli reached out to Dalton to ask if he wanted to come back. And Dalton was open to the idea. But he decided to resign. He resigned in 1994. So production was pushed back when no concrete starts. So Timothy Dalton said, see you later. And then they brought in Pierce Brosnan. What's interesting about Pierce Brosnan is his wife was married on the set of Live and Let Die. And he had met Roger Moore before. So he comes along. Judi Dench comes in for the very first time to be cast as M, who goes through into well into the Daniel Craig Bond. So she's in there for quite a while, who's a pretty well-respected actress at that point. And she was a great M. She did a great job taking over for the original English actor who passed away a number of years before. And Pierce Brosnan does a nice job as Bond. I actually like him a little better than Timothy Dalton. Maybe not so much as Roger Moore, Sean Connery, but he does a decent job. And I like all of his movies. They get kind of trashed upon, but I kind of like... I kind of like the Timothy Dalton ones, and the Timothy Dalton ones are okay, but the Pierce Brosnan ones, especially GoldenEye, I loved. It's got great Bond girls in it. It's got a great stunt. I just loved the jump, the bungee jump in the movie, and I remember taking my little brother George to this movie when he was a kid. So it was 80. He was 20. Maybe a little less. No, 90. Yeah, okay. He was 15 years old, and I took him in to see Bond, so he got to love Bond after this as well. The opening title sequence is great. Has a woman destroying the hammer and sickle, the Russian hammer and sickle. So it's a different Bond for the 90s, and the plot is all convoluted like most of the Bond movies are, but there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Bond is somehow a little bit more sensitive again. He's a little more vulnerable. You get to see 006 in there. You see Sean Bean come in right before he's Ned Stark and plays one of the many roles that he plays where he dies in the movie in order for the hero or the villain to take his place and do something else in the movie. So it is great. And I also have to say GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64 turns out to be one of the best video games, the best shoot 'em up video games ever. So we have to thank GoldenEye the movie for GoldenEye the video game. It had a huge budget. It had a $60 million budget, and it became the best box office ever for a Bond movie. $355 million it made. So 1995 was the return of James Bond, and it came with a bang. Eric Serra did the soundtrack to this. John Barry had since retired, so Eric Serra did this. This is The Experience of Love. I'm going to play a little bit of this in the background here from GoldenEye. So that's The Experience of Love. I'm not going to put you through the whole thing. It's 6 minutes long. I'll give you a little taste of it. But the score by Eric Serra was criticized as more like elevator music than exciting adventure music. So anyway, more appropriate for a ride on an elevator than a ride on a roller coaster. That's what one of the critics said about Sarah's score. And it's okay. And this was over the end credits. So it's like something you would hear over end credits. But I want to play, this is more exciting, a piece of GoldenEye. This was the demo by The Edge and Bono from U2. They ended up writing this, and of course it was recorded by Tina Turner, but the producers didn't work with U2 at all, so none of the themes from GoldenEye, the song, are present throughout the movie, like what you would hear in like You Only Live Twice and Live and Let Die and all the ones throughout the 70s and even the 80s. So this is Bono and The Edge doing their GoldenEye demo from 1995 here on Watch This with Chris Earle.
Name
I like that la dee dee da 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 at the end there, Bono. It's okay. It's not bad for a demo, and Tina Turner does a good job on it, but not one of my favorite theme songs for Bond. It's okay. I mean, you know, it's still majestic and it's got that sweep going, but a little wordy for me. I think it's a little too wordy, but the music's not good enough. I don't know. Maybe the words too much, Bono, and the music not good enough, Edge. I don't know. But it still did really well. Like I said, it's GoldenEye. Here's the GoldenEye N64 main theme, 8-bit version. A little extra bonus here for you on Watch This. All James Bond till 7 p.m.
Friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
All right, we still got 25 years to go here. We're in 1995 talking about GoldenEye. And not the best soundtrack, I don't think. John Barry could have come back. Barbara Broccoli offered him a bunch of money, but he turned it down. And then that Eric Serra came in and he made that elevator music for us. And, you know, not a great theme, not a great score, but it gets a little better going into Tomorrow Never Dies. They take... Sheryl Crow, it's kind of a weak theme song, but I love the Moby James Bond theme that comes out in 1997. So let's listen to Sheryl Crow from Tomorrow Never Dies here on Watch This. I'm here with you until 7 p.m. It's all James Bond songs today. Thanks for listening.